Well, good morning, everybody. My name's Matt. Those of you guys who don't know, David's out on vacation, so you get to hear a few different voices on Sunday morning this week and next week, so it's going to be good. God is good and in charge of it all. So this week, we've been working through the book of Ephesians, bit by bit, going through it. David gave me a choice this week, and he said, it's a new year. You can do a New Year's message, and I'm like, sweet, I like New Year's message. So that's what we're doing, is a New Year's message. So we're taking a break from the book of Ephesians. And kind of today is basically our Deuteronomy. I'm reading in the book of Deuteronomy in my own reading pit. And basically what it is you have the Israelites are marching on through and they're heading to the promised land and they get on the border of the promised land. And this is, then they just take this break in there where Moses gathers all the peoples together. And before they cross over into the promised land, basically he lays out everything on the laws and what they need to do, where they've been in the past, where they are right now, what's ahead of them, and what they need to do to keep their relationship with God going. So today is kind of our Deuteronomy. We're taking a break from Ephesians and refocusing on the new year and what's important and what isn't important. So who here, anybody here made New Year resolutions already? Anybody made New Year resolutions? Nobody? Wow, you guys are not a New Year's resolution people. A few people, okay. I was going to ask how many people have already broken them, but gee, you guys haven't even made them. Low standards, that's the beauty of low standards is you can always meet them. So, okay. So New Year's resolutions, are they useless or not? Are they useless or not? Here's one article I found. It says, it is a myth that the New Year is a good time, or is it a myth that the New Year is a good time to start fresh? A New Year is what researchers call a temporal landmark. These temporal landmarks help us navigate our way through time, just as physical landmarks help us navigate our way through space. A temporal landmark switches on our motivation and makes it possible for us to restart or start in a stronger way. And this matters very much. In most endeavors, we should be awake to the power of new beginnings and aim to make a strong start. Beginnings have far greater impact than most of us understand. Beginnings can matter the most to the end. And this year especially is a unique temporal landmark because it's a new decade that we can harness to clarify our vision and amp our motivation in a greater way than just the start of a standard year. You can use the beginning of a new decade to harness the fresh start effect and create a strategic turning point in your personal history. And it just so happens that thinking ahead 10 years is about the perfect amount of time to clarify a good vision for your life that is long enough to give you a good direction, but not so long that it seems unattainable. So basically, New Year's resolutions are not bad things. They're not useless because times like this, a New Year's, a new decade, can form this temporal landmark, basically, where, okay, in our minds, this motivation can occur that can help us reach the goals that we want to set for ourselves. So today, kind of what I want to do is kind of guide us into the new year, okay? Focusing on what's important. My big idea in all this is that your walk with Christ should be the central priority in your life. The central priority in your life. Justin started my message. He could just come up here and continue. But that's what we're talking about. Christ is the central priority of our lives. Okay, why is that and what does that look like? That's what we'll get into. And one of the main verses I'm going to use in here is Philippians 3, 7 through 10. So if you can jump there, Philippians 3, 7 through 10. And if you don't have a Bible, there's usually Bibles in the seat in front of you. You can grab one of those. So Philippians 3, 7 through 10. This is Paul talking. And check out Paul's passion in this. See if Paul's got his priorities figured out. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I might gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and by any means possible, that I may attain to the resurrection of the dead. So is there any question in your mind about Paul's priorities? And he makes it pretty clear what his priority is, knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. That was his clear priority. So let's pray quick. Father, I just thank you for your word and for your truth, Father. And as we get into this new year, Lord, I just pray that you would help us to make you central in it, Father, as you always should be. But Lord, give us a greater focus on that, a greater determination, and Lord, that your Holy Spirit will work in and through our hearts, Father God, to put you first and foremost in our lives. Lord, just here, I just pray, Father, that you would speak to our hearts, Lord, that you would convict us where we need to change and show us where we are failing. And also, Lord, that you would give us the power and the ability and the strength, Father God, to change and to make you central in our lives, Lord. Lord, that we can have the joy of relationship with you and fellowship with you. Father, help us in that and just give us eyes to see that this morning, even as your word is brought forward, Lord. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear, Lord, and just do a work in our hearts, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Okay, so the question to start with is, how would you describe your walk with Christ? How would you describe it? Are you where you want to be spiritually? And describe it like, oh, I'm doing fine, nothing big or wrong or anything. Oh, it's good, I come to church regularly, and I'm around, and I know my Bible. I mean, how would you describe it? Are you where you want to be? Could you echo Paul with what Paul was saying in here? If you were writing something, writing to a friend, is that what you would write? See, all of us should be striving to grow. All of us should be pushing to grow. Because all of us, including me, very much me, have plenty of room to grow. And usually we want to grow. We kind of know that intrinsically, like, I need to grow in my walk with Christ. So that's not revelatory. But it's just a matter of how we do it. Because usually the way we do it is by doing the same things that we have been doing over and over and over and over again. And how many here have seen the new Star Wars movie? A few people. I'm not trying to give away any spoilers, don't worry. But one thing I've noticed, and I was talking with Tracy, it's just kind of funny. Like the bad guys, they always lose because they do the same things over and over and over and over again in the movies. Like, hey, let's build a Death Star. Dang it, they destroyed it. Okay, let's build another one. Ah, they got that one too. Okay, build another one. And then their other strategy. Okay, we can make the good guy Jedi a bad guy. Okay, this will always work. We'll make the good guy a bad guy. And then they try that. And shoot, that didn't work either. Oh, and they never learn. And they never win. They do the same things over and over and over again. And that's why good guys win, is because bad guys are dumb. See, we laugh at that and we make fun of that, but honestly, we do the same things. At least I do the same things. Maybe you guys don't. Maybe you guys are always changing and always growing and I'm stagnant. But we do the same things in our spiritual life. We're like, I want to grow in God. I want to grow in God. And then I'll keep going to church, and then I don't know what else I'll do. Maybe I'll sing louder during worship. I don't know. So we don't do anything, and then we don't do anything different, and then we wonder why we're not growing. Like, okay, nothing's changing. And I want us to take a look. We're going to jump into Revelation here, and we're going to look at some of the churches that Paul wrote to and look at what they were going through and what was happening with them, because it can be a good barometer of where we're at, and I know I can identify with a number of them. So first one we're going to is Revelation 2, verse 2. So Revelation chapter 2, verse 2. And this is Paul, or this is John, or through the Spirit, basically. This is the Spirit writing, God's Spirit writing to the church at Ephesus. And it says, we're reading through 5. I know your works, your toil and your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who do evil, but have tested those who are apostles and are not, and found them to be false. And I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love that you have at first. Remember, therefore, where you have fallen. Repent and do the works that you did at first. We'll stop there. You see, these guys had got caught so much in fighting off the bad guys and doing Christianity, doing the works of Christianity, they'd forgotten about their relationship with Christ. They'd forgotten who it was all about, what the focus of it all about, that love, the first commandment, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. You see, they were doing all the right things, but they'd failed to make their relationship with Christ the central priority in their life. They failed to make knowing Christ what they were reaching for. Jumping ahead, this is the church in Sardis now. We're in chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. We'll start down here. I know your works. You have the reputation for being alive, but you are dead. Wake up and strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have not found your works complete in the sight of God. Remember then what you have received and heard. Keep it and repent. And we'll stop it there for now. You see, their religion, this church's problem, their religion was a facade. They had all the good trappings of a good Christian. They did all the right stuff, sang the right songs, did what they needed to, memorized verses maybe, who knows. They were all going through all the motions, but there was no real meaning to it. They were doing all these things out of habit, not for God's glory, because not God wasn't at the center of it all to motivate those things and give them life, to give them passion for those things. You see, God sees into our heart. And he's not impressed by our works if our heart isn't into it. We can come to church and we can stand here and we can sing, but God isn't impressed if we're not singing to him, if there's not that relationship there. If we're coming to church just out of habit and not because we want to grow in Christ, God knows that. God sees our heart. And that's what we're talking about here today is our heart. Our heart. What's going on inside? One more church we're going to look at. Jumping ahead to verse 15, the church at Laodicea. So we're at 3:15. I know your works. You are neither hot nor cold. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich. I have prospered, and I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may be rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourself and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and to salve and anoint your eyes so that you may see. Those whom I love I reprove and discipline, so be zealous and repent. You see, these guys thought they had it all together. Very similar. They thought they had it all together. They thought they were rich. They thought they were doing awesome. That, hey, we're blessed. Maybe they were just blessed naturally. They had lots of stuff, and they said, God's blessed us. Yes, we're rich. We're rich in every way, but they weren't because they didn't have the number one thing, that relationship with God, that passion and love for God that all of us need to have. And then in the end, they were only fooling themselves because that's not what it's about. It was just the outside, just the outside. You see, the common thread in all these guys, in a lot of these churches is, they seemed to focus on the outward. And the outward looked good. They were doing all the right steps, all the right things. But their hearts had wandered away from that priority of their relationship with Christ and had gotten focused on doing all these other things. And none of the other things they were doing were bad. They were doing awesome things. But their heart wasn't there. That relationship with Christ wasn't there. And you see, they were focused on the production, focused on what everybody sees, what everybody looks at, not behind the scenes. You see, our relationship with Christ is made most of the time behind the scenes. What we're doing in our leisure time, what we're doing behind closed doors, that's where our relationship with Christ is made. Can you relate to any of these churches? I know I can, because I know our natural inclination as people, because we have a sin nature, is to wander away from God. If we just sit stagnant, we're just going to wander away from God. If we're not pushing towards Christ, we're going to be falling away from him. There is no middle ground in there. You can't just stand pat. You're either pushing forward or you're falling back. As we get caught up in the affairs of this life, caught up in just works and actions and things that we do, and we take Christ and that relationship with him out of the picture, even in Christian works and what we do, we lose the focus of what we're doing. We start going for the rubbish that Paul talks about when he's writing. I consider all other things rubbish compared to the surpassing joy of knowing Christ Jesus. So what was Paul's remedy for all of, or the, What was the remedy for all of those churches that we read about in Revelation? Can anybody remember? The remedy for all of them? Repent, therefore. Yep. There we go. Repent. Repent where we have sinned and failed to make Christ, the relationship with Christ, our central priority. Repent of those things. And what repentance is basically, it's just confessing where we messed up, where we have sinned, and expressing a desire for change. You see, repentance naturally expresses a desire for change. We recognize the need for change. And it's a turning away from sin and a turning towards Christ. A turning away from those things that we've made a priority that shouldn't be and towards Christ to make him the priority. And you don't underestimate the power of repentance. See, repentance isn't this horrible thing that we have to do. I mean, we don't have to lash ourselves or beat ourselves. Repentance is a gift from God, because not only does it give us the means for forgiveness, but God, through his Holy Spirit and power and grace, works through repentance to change our hearts, to move in and through our hearts and give us the ability to change. Because in our flesh we'll never succeed, but God's Spirit will give us that power. So making our walk with Christ our central priority. And I'm not saying in here that it's our number one priority. I was thinking about that, but I want it to be our central priority. That's what God's heart for. And the difference in there is that number one priority means it's this, and then there's this, and this, and this, and this. And so they're kind of separate. You see, our central priority is there's this, the relationship with Christ, and everything else fits around that and revolves around that. That's the difference. That makes sense? Okay. All other things become priorities simply because of my relationship with Christ. Everything is dependent on it. And that relationship that I have with Christ guides and directs every other priority of my life. What I do when I'm at work. How I relate to my family, my kids. What I do in my leisure time. What my hobbies are. How I do my hobbies. Ministry, what I do in ministry and church and things like that, all of that flows out of our relationship with God. And if that's the way that it's working, it will work beautifully and awesomely. First Corinthians 10:31 says, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. So you see, a lot of times people say like there's religious and secular. You see, if you're a Christian though, there is no secular life. Everything that you do is religious. Everything you do is about your walk with God and your relationship with God. Whether you're at work or the grocery store or time with family or whatever it might be, doing whatever hobby you want to do, fishing, anything like that, it all flows from this relationship with God. It's all in that sphere. Does that make sense? It's all part of that. There is no secular life or spiritual. Everything that we do is spiritual, impacts our walk with God and is related to our walk with God. And it's not a matter of time or money for our priority, but it's our heart condition, our heart focus. A few other verses I want to get into. Matthew 6:31. If you can jump with me back to Matthew 6:31. Matthew 6:31 through 33. Therefore, don't be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. You see, what he's talking about here is don't prioritize natural needs over your relationship with Christ. Don't focus on taking care of your natural needs at the expense of your relationship with Christ. It's not bad to work and do all those other things, but don't make those a priority over your relationship with Christ. One other one, Matthew 6:19. Just jump back a page or so. 6:19 through 21. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. And that's a good one. That's a good one. He's talking about don't prioritize building up stuff in this life, accumulating stuff, because it doesn't matter in the end. It doesn't matter if you have more snow machines than I do, if you've caught a bigger fish than I do. Maybe it does. No, it doesn't. It doesn't. It doesn't matter any of those things. It doesn't matter if you've done this or that, or I mean, all those things that we compare ourselves to or compare each other to. It doesn't matter if they're more popular than we are or anything like that. What matters is building up treasures in heaven, living for God and building up his kingdom. It's doing works done out of an act of relationship in love with Christ and for his glory, that relationship with Christ that flows from that. You see, whatever we prioritize, that's pursue the most with our life, reveals our heart condition. Because where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If you're seeking after stuff, that's where your heart is going to be. But the opposite is true. If you want to make Christ, if you want your heart to be with Christ, make him your priority. And if you do that, if you start putting your treasures towards Christ, he will become your priority. He will become your priority because your heart will follow what you put your treasures to, what you invest into. I used this one before. How many people know, how's the stock of Coca-Cola doing? Is it good or bad? Rob knows? Yeah, be quiet, Rob. Nobody knows what the stock of Coca-Cola is, but if you sold your house and everything you had and invested in Coca-Cola, you would have your hand up real quick. You would know exactly what that stock's doing. Because you're invested in it. In the same way, if we invest everything in Christ, we don't have a plan B, everything is invested in Christ, that's what we will care about. That's what our heart will care about. Okay? You see, because when our heart is right with God and that relationship is right with God, then that will naturally lead out to good works done out of the right heart. It's the overflow of that relationship with Christ. One other verse, Psalm 16:8. Psalm 16:8, if you can jump back there with me. Psalm 16 is awesome. I've been reading this one a lot lately. This echoes goes right along with what Jim was talking about, too. It opened my 16:8. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. See, Christ is not only to be the priority of our actions and what we do, but the priority of our thoughts. What are you thinking about? When you've got leisure time, you're driving, you're quiet, you're sitting there fishing, whatever it might be. When you have quiet leisure time, what are you thinking about? What's going through your mind? See, that says a lot about your heart too, where your heart is. And he talks about at my right hand, that's preeminent before everything else. Like Jim was talking about before, if our focus is on Christ, we're not going to be shaken up by this world. All the craziness that happens, if our heart is in Christ and our relationship with him is right, we won't be shaken by those things. Because we have that filter in our mind that everything passes through, every circumstance in life passes through. You see, in Philippians that we were talking about, we see Paul's example. His clear priority was to know Christ. And everything else was loss in comparison. Not that everything else was bad. It isn't. But in comparison to knowing Christ, it's garbage. It's rubbish. So what does this all look like? What does making Christ a priority in your life look like? How does this actually play out? You see, none of it's complicated or revelatory or fancy or anything like that. It's mostly behind the scenes where few people notice. You can come to church on Sunday morning and probably nobody would notice how your real relationship with Christ is doing. Probably no one would notice because it's all behind the scenes, or a lot of it is. And none of it's anything new that we haven't heard. But the first thing is spending time with him, spending time with God. And it isn't all about time, but it certainly is a big part of it. And David shared about this recently, but if we don't have a prayer life and a Bible reading time, then there should be a big red flag popping up that something might be off in our relationship with Christ, that something is not right. I mean, if you guys asked, well, how's your marriage? Like David talked about this a little bit, but asked, how's your marriage? It's fine. I mean, I got the ring, and I mean, we're in the same house. We don't talk ever, but we're in the same house, and she's there, and we're married, so it's great. What do you say? Good job, Matt. Or do you slap me upside the head, like you probably should? See, that's a lot of times how we treat our relationship with Christ, though. We treat it like a wedding ring. We treat it like, okay, I'm saved. I got saved. I got my wedding ring. I'm good to go. Now I'm just hanging out, and I'm just waiting for heaven, man. Just waiting for heaven because I got my ring. And that's how we treat our relationship with Christ. That's not what it's about. It's about that relationship that happens. What I love about my marriage is not this ring. I love hanging out and talking to my wife and laughing with her and enjoying life with her, living life with her. That's what I love. And that's what matters. And if sometimes we just think we don't have to work at it anymore once we get the ring, once we get our salvation. But that's so far from the case. Man, we need to press on to know Christ. Paul was that excited about it, and he's way further along in his walk with Christ than I am, but he's still passionate about it. And people are like, oh, I've read my Bible before. Well, it's like saying, I already know my wife. Shoot, I married her. I already know everything about her. I don't need to talk to her anymore. Is that true? Guys, does that work? No. Badly. But that's how, I've read my Bible before. I don't care if you've read your Bible before. I don't have that memorized. Shoot, I'll read it all the time, and I'll be like, was that in there last time I read it? I don't remember that verse. When did God add that one? There's lots of things in there that we can dig into, and no matter what, we're at different stages of life, we'll find different things out of it. So set up a reading plan. Set up a time to pray. Make a plan for it. Don't just say, I need to read my Bible more. Make a plan for it. What are you going to start reading? When are you going to read? Where are you going to read? Plan all those things out, and you'll succeed in it way better. And prayer time. If you're struggling in your prayer life, what I do is I've just made a prayer list, and I tape it on the inside of my Bible. It's not that I have to religiously pray through those every day, but it helps get me going because my prayer time is in the morning, and I'm just kind of, what am I going to pray about? I don't know. But that helps me get started, and then I can just go off from there. But get a starting point. Have that prayer list in your Bible. It's not about legalism, as David talked about before. It's about desire and passion for Christ. I want to be with him. I want to spend time with him. I want to know him more. I want to talk to him. You see, we all have time available. If you guys say you don't have time available for it, you are a liar. Come and talk to me afterwards. I'll help you make the time for it. If you have time to watch any movie, do anything on Facebook, text anybody. If you have time for anything else, you have time for your relationship with Christ. Again, it is a priority. Make time for it. If it is a priority, you will make time for it. And if it's not a priority, you will not. So pray that God would change your heart to allow you to make it a priority. And just do it. And then your heart will follow in that as you do. You see, if we make Christ our treasure, invest our time and our effort towards seeking him, he says our hearts will naturally follow. We'll follow. I can't remember how many times I've done it where I don't really want to read my Bible this morning at all, but I know I need to. Okay, I'll do it. And then by the time I'm done, I'm like, I love reading my Bible. I don't want to stop. I don't want to go to work. I just want to read my Bible. But we have to make that effort to get past that and do it. Not because I want to. If you wait till you want to read your Bible or pray, good luck. God bless you. You're going to have a hard time doing it if you're anything like me. You do it, and then God, and then your heart follows in that. Okay? Another thing, a renewed determination to walk in holiness before God. Another part of your relationship with Christ. And in that, what I'm talking about a lot is get rid of habitual sins. Get rid of habitual sins. If you've got a sin that you've been dragging around for a while, make this the year that you get rid of that thing. I'm not talking about perfection, but I'm talking about those things that you know what they are, that you drag along, that are those sins that you can't get rid of. Make this the year that you get rid of those things. You see, it's easy to get lazy with grace and be like, God, no one's perfect. I'm doing my best in my walk with God. God's mercy is greater than my sin. All those little cliches that we use to excuse our sin. And all those things are true. But man, if we get lazy about our sin, it will destroy us. And it will destroy that priority that we have. I've heard this quote. I love it. We will never see the beauty of God's grace until we recognize the hideousness of our own sin. If we see our sin for what it truly is, deserving of death and punishment and hell, if we truly stop and think and read through the Bible, see what the Bible says about sin, we'll appreciate God's grace so much more. But we use grace as a license for sin, and that's distorted grace. It's an affront to Christ. So confess your sins before God, repent of those sins, and commit to holiness. And then you get to experience the joy of freedom from sins, from habitual sins that have been plaguing you. Man, if you get free of those, I've been there. The joy of getting free of those things is awesome. It's amazing. It will ignite your walk with Christ. And here's one more. Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy 6, going way back. Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. With how much? All. And these things that I command you today shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, and talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise, and bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets before your eyes, and write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. See, I love this. I mean, there's so much in that verse. I mean, he's talking about setting Christ central before us, setting Christ before us all the time. And one thing that's a challenge to me in this coming year, he's talking about, what do we do in our time talking with other people? When we're getting together with others, what do we do? In there, you talk about Christ. Talk about it. It doesn't mean you don't have to talk about anything else. But man, we should be talking about Christ and sharing about Christ in those times that we have. So ask you, what are you texting about? What are you posting on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or something like that? It doesn't all have to be about God, but a lot of it should be. If that's your relationship with Christ, if that's your priority, if that's what's central to you, it should be. And I'm challenged in that. That's something I know I want to grow in this coming year. You see, if you want something different, you need to do something different. Don't be like the bad guys. Make a habit of getting up early and setting up a prayer time and a Bible reading time. Get plugged into a life group or a discipleship group. Make a plan to reach out to those who don't know Christ or disciple someone. You see, ministry, for me at least, ministry ignites my faith. If I'm discipling somebody or in a ministry situation or serving, that ignites my faith in my walk with Christ. It breathes life into it, as long as I'm having that quiet time with God too. Do something different. Don't get stuck in the same rut expecting to grow, because we will never grow in Christ accidentally. And it won't just happen automatically, like, we've grown, woo! It doesn't work that way. It has to be intentional as we make Christ our priority, and then our heart follows that. And part of that is get accountable with someone for what you plan to do. Get accountable with someone for what you plan to do. Tell them your devotional plan, what you're going to read, where you're going to read, when you're going to read. And seek help with habitual sins. Confess them to somebody else. I guarantee, you can confess them to me. You're not going to shock me. I'll probably be like, yep, amen, I can relate to that one. You're not going to shock anybody. Confess your sins to one to another, the Bible talks about. Looking this up online, it says our chance of success jumps up 65% when we tell someone else and seek accountability. When we say, hey, help me with this and help me grow on this, 65% up. 95% higher if we make a regular appointment with somebody to talk about those things. And that's why we do the discipleship groups. That's what we do. We talk every week. We get together, and there's a number of things that we do. But we ask, okay, how are you doing on your reading? Are you reading your Bible? What's God speaking to you from it? How are you doing on this sin? And it's awesome. I know for me personally, it's helped my devotional life get way more consistent than what it was. And I've seen to do that from a number of people involved in the groups that we've had. And we've seen habitual sins either erased or dramatically reduced. So get accountability. Get somebody on board to help you. There's get me, Pastor David, anybody. There's lots of people, any mature Christian to help you out. So why do we do all this? Why are we doing all this? And I've used this quote before, but I love it, so I'm going to use it again. If God is anything, he is everything. If Christianity is anything, it is everything. You see, if Christianity is real, if this Bible that we read is real, if it really is, then it should be the driving force and focus of everything that we do. Everything that we do. It means that this life and possessions and stuff mean very, very little. And that our relationship with Christ and pursuing him means everything because it's what's eternal. If it's anything, it is everything. Jump back to that Philippians verse in there, and you just see Paul's heart. And there he talks about that we might know Christ. I count everything as lost because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus. Surpassing worth. Everything else is loss. All of this, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection to attain eternal life. You see, as he talks about in here, it's not attained by works, but by that relationship with Christ. That relationship with Christ is we put our treasure into Christ and our hearts follow. As God's Spirit works in our hearts as we're reading our Bible and praying and drawing ourselves to him. Given that, nothing else matters more than our relationship with Christ. Growing in our faith and relationship with Christ, it's a work of God's Holy Spirit in our hearts as we make him our focus and our joy. As we make him our focus and our joy, as we spend time with him, as we strive towards holiness, all those things, God's Holy Spirit, we let his Spirit work in us and draw us to him and make him a priority. You see, the reality of it is we all have as much of a relationship with Christ as we choose to have now. All of us do. If you say, I don't have a relationship with Christ that's very good right now, that's what you're choosing. For me too. That's what I'm choosing. What are we choosing to do with our relationship with Christ? What is important to us? What are we going to choose? We could have the worship team come up and the prayer teams. So what I want you to do is take a minute and reflect where you are spiritually. What are you choosing with your life? And think about, okay, where am I at? Maybe one of those things in the churches that we read about spoke to you, about going through the motions but no heart. Maybe something spurred in your mind on something that you want to grow in or do, like a plan, making a plan for Bible reading, or a sin that you want to get rid of. Be real with yourself in all of it. And I encourage you, repent for where you need to repent. Spend that time and repent. Ask God's forgiveness. Ask him to give you the power and the strength to refocus your life on him. You see, his grace is sufficient for you, not only to give you forgiveness for where you failed, but also to give you the power through the Holy Spirit to make that change and to spur on that relationship with Christ, to make him central in your life. Amen. Lord, and as we come into this new year, into this new decade, Lord, I just pray that we would make you the center of it all, Father God, of our lives. And we ask for your Holy Spirit to work in our hearts and draw us to you, Father God, that you would be the central thing in our life, and that you would give us a greater passion and a greater love for you, Lord. And we just thank you for your great love for us, Father God, that stirs our heart towards you, that draws us to you, Father God. And Lord, just do that work in our lives and in our hearts, Father God, that you would be glorified in and through our lives, Lord, by every part of our lives. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. God bless you.